You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 39. And I've just finished recording a conversation with today's guest, who is Kate. Now, Kate has a very short dream, quite dramatic, quite exciting, and a lot came out of it in the interpretation. So have a listen. Listen to the dream, listen to how we discuss the symbols, and listen as Kate begins to relate the dream to what's happening in her life. As usual, there's lots of good gems and insights and takeaways for everyone listening, whether or not you've ever had a dream like this. And stay in right for the very end, because after giving Kate the dream alchemy practice, she asks a couple of more questions about some recurring dream themes that are actually quite common. So it may well be that you've experienced the dream themes that Kate asks about at the end of the show, so stay in and listen to that too. Here you go, enjoy. And welcome to the show, Kate.
Hi, Jane Theresa. Nice to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I love having guests on the show.
I love hearing them, so I'm very happy to be one of them. Thank you.
That's great. Now, you have a dream, which, of course, I know nothing about at the moment, and you also have a couple of questions. So let's start with the dream.
Sure. Okay. That'd be great. I had this dream last week. I was in a drawing of an aeroplane, like a commercial aeroplane, in one of the seats, but it was like a three-dimensional drawing. So like a CAD drawing or something. So, it wasn't really an aeroplane. And someone was explaining to me how it worked. It was like a new design. And in the seat, in the back of the seat in front of me, there was a little slot, like a, compartment, and you could choose a drink and the drink would be delivered to you. And, I was surprised to actually realize it worked, even though it was only a drawing. I chose a gin and tonic, and it came through in a little can of gin and a little separate thing of tonic. And I thought, wow, that's fantastic. It's working. And it's only a drawing. So, I didn't want to drink in front of people, even though don't think there was anyone there. So I sort of slipped the little container of gin in my pocket and pretended I was just having, the tonic. And, then I realized that I was in a dream. So I thought, wow, if I'm in a dream, I can control what happens. That's right. That's fantastic. So I can go in this plane and go anywhere I want. And then I realized that I kind of lacked the imagination, or I hadn't traveled enough to think really clearly or richly about where I wanted to go. And the only place I could think of going was the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. Mm-hmm. I was quite sort of hampered by my lack of ability to imagine anywhere else. So I sort of thought, okay, well, I'll go there. And that was sort of where the dream ended, just with me thinking, if I had a better imagination, I would be able to go anywhere in the world in full rich color and full definition.
Oh, fantastic. How did you feel when you woke up from that?
Fine, but a sense of, I could have used the opportunity to have more fun.
More fun. Could have had the gin, yeah. Not just the tonic.
Yeah, exactly. I thought, oh, that's a shame I didn't just have the drink and not worry about what people thought. And it's a shame I couldn't think of somewhere more interesting to go than the Arc de Triomphe. But,
okay, I've got a feel for your dream, but I want to ask you a few questions first.
Sure.
Now that you're awake, the Arc de Triomphe, have you been there? What does it mean to you? Are you surprised it was the Arc de Triomphe that came up?
Yeah, it doesn't mean a lot to me. I have been there, I think, but with no great, you know, I've been to Paris and I enjoyed other places in Paris more than that. Mm-hmm. It's not really a special place to me at mm-hmm. all.
And so when you think of the Arc de Triomphe, you think it's a place that...
has a lot of traffic, is in Paris. And I guess I thought about the word triumph,
yes.
That was my association with it, was like, it's a place that celebrated a triumph somehow.
That's right. And it's like the arc, the pinnacle of a triumph. And I think that's the one we'll go with, but it's also interesting that it's got all the through traffic and that came up to you, you know, first.
Yes.
We'll go back to that.
Sure. It's the kind of place where people drive around. You know, I've seen on TV people go there and then they drive around it, and it's That's the only sort of image I have of it.
So when they drive around, do you get the feeling that they don't really get out and have a look?
Yeah, actually, it just made me think of one other thing. I have this confidence meditation tape, and one of the people in that is in a, one of the examples in it is a guy who does a run from the, from England, or it's actually a run from England and then a swim across the channel and then a bicycle ride to the Arc de Triomphe. It's called, it's a endurance test.
Ah.
So, and that's something I've listened to a few times, I suppose, in a semi-conscious state. So, I can't remember what the run is called, but only about 8 people have ever done it, ever completed it by themselves. It's a very, extreme event.
Yeah. So, and so when you listen to that as a kind of guided imagery thing?
Yeah, it's a confidence tape, which I listened to, and I listened to it recently before a job application. So
excellent. This is all falling into place nicely. You're probably analysing it at the same time as I am here at the moment.
It just occurred to me while I was talking to you that I completely forgot about that, but yes.
That's really good. Just one other question. You said, Kate, that while you were sitting in the plane and you got the drink and everything, you suddenly realised you were in a dream and thought, hey, I could do anything here. Did that feeling that you were dreaming last very long, or was it kind of temporary?
I lasted through the rest of the dream, but I have had lucid dreams before where I've been able to control them, but not fully. It's almost like it gets a bit slippy and you can't quite control everything.
Yeah, that's what I was interested to know. So I'll just do an aside here for anyone listening in that doesn't know what lucid dreaming is, so that they're with us. Lucid dreaming is when you're having a dream. You know how you normally have a dream and it feels completely real, you know, and you've done something awful like killed somebody or got involved with the police, and you wake up and thank God for that. I really thought it was real. So that's how our normal dreams are. Whereas if in the middle of a dream, like Kate, you suddenly think, oh, I'm in a dream, then you know that you've got this other life, which is a waking life. And if you could stay with that feeling of, oh, I'm in a dream, and you can begin to direct it, and while still staying in the dream state, that's called lucid dreaming. Now, as Kate said, just still talking to everyone that's listening, Kate, as Kate said, sometimes you can, and it's quite rare, you can actually maintain that feeling of, I'm in a lucid dream, I can do absolutely anything I want, and you have total control. But it's quite rare. It's more usual that it's, as Kate described it, that it's slippy. You know, I've got control. Oops, not quite. I've got, no, that wasn't quite. What's that doing over there? And it's kind of like a little conflict between having control, but your dreaming brain taking over. And so for me, Kate, now just speaking to you, although everyone else can still listen in, when you get that feeling in a lucid dream that it's slippy, that things are coming up, or, you know, you haven't completely got control, those are the bits to really still treat as a material to interpret in a dream, because that's where your unconscious mind is having its say. So
right,
that's really good. But by the same token, it's really good when you do have a lucid dream, because you have the opportunity to in the dream state to do visualizations, you know, to run past your daytime visualization and really make them full sense around, which you've probably done. But okay, back to the dream. Even once after you become lucid and the dream becomes slippy, you still got themes coming in there of, is it real? Is it just a CAD drawing, or has it got full sense around?
I couldn't make it full sensory. I couldn't make it full color in a way. It was like being in a cartoon or in a drawing. I'm an architect by trade, and so I do spend time drawing. And it was like being in that kind of mode, and I couldn't get the full color experience that I wanted to get.
Yeah. I think, even though that is your background, so that, you know, so a CAD drawing is a personal symbol for you, or a drawing is a symbol for you, I think your unconscious mind has picked it as a metaphor for what was going on in your life at the time of the dream. So the overall feeling is, okay, I've got something new in my life. You know, the moment you said I'm in a drawing and it's a drawing of a plane, I thought, this is a new idea happening here, because often planes in our dreams are, you know, planes fly in the air, so they're the air, our thoughts, our plans, our planes, our plans. And Kate, you've got a new picture, a new concept happening here, and you're sort of trying out, you're up there in the seat in the drawing, you're trying out this new idea that you've got. And then so when you then went on and said, oh, it's a completely new design, I thought, good, yeah, this is great. We're going through here a new idea, a new design that you've got for your life, and you're trying it out. Now, way after the you woke up and thought you woke up within the dream and thought it was lucid, you still introduced the Arc de Triomphe.
Yes, and that was very unconscious. That I didn't intentionally go there. It was just the only place I could think of.
That's right. And earlier in our discussion here, we sort of got the feeling of, well, the Arc de Triomphe is somewhere where you can drive through without necessarily getting out and really getting in touch with the place.
Yes.
And it's kind of like you go to Paris, you go, okay, I suppose I better do the Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe, the and it's
exactly.
The less imaginative version of visiting Paris.
Yes.
So there's a feeling there of the Arc de Triomphe, and it's a destiny in your dream. Oh, I could do anything in this dream. I could just think of something better than going to the Arc de Triomphe. Has a sense of, I would really still want to be able to bring more colour. I want to move. I've got a 3D drawing concept of something that I want to achieve in my life, and it's a new plan, but I haven't yet got to the stage of really being fully and sensually in touch with what it is that I want to achieve. There's a step missing here.
Definitely, yes.
And I like the feeling that you've now also related it to the meditation tape that you're using for building confidence, because it's obviously picked out the Arc de Triomphe not only as a symbol of attaining confidence, but also a rare confidence, because you said only 8 people have ever done that journey.
Yes, yes.
So you're also looking in your dream as I would imagine, just from talking to you, that you're an ultra-confident person anyway, but you're looking for confidence with respect to this new plan, new concept, new idea you've got. And isn't it wonderful that you actually get to the Arc de Triomphe in your dream, even though it's not where you want to go? Okay. Okay, right. Well, confidence, hey, that's easy. Actually, you know, no matter what you're thinking of it in waking life, your unconscious mind is going, confidence, you may not know it, Kate, but we've got that covered. We can do confidence. Look, here's the Arc de Triomphe.
I am actually. I have been a lot more confident lately within a professional sense. Very, very, as I said, I went to a job interview and I felt very confident about my ability to do the job and take it on and all of that. So I have, in some areas of my life, I have a great, not a great overwhelming confidence, but just a sense of what I'm good at and what I'm not good at, and a calmness around that.
That's really excellent. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
And there are obviously other areas where I don't feel confident at all.
Yeah, and your dream may be addressing some of those. And also, it's like once you've got the confidence, when you're talking about a work, you know, a new job, saying, okay, that's the confidence in place to do the job. Now, to do the work of a job, and particularly you've just said you're an architect, a lot of that is in the head, you know, thinking, working, planning. And obviously there'd be some component of talking to people and interacting with people, but confidence to do the job is number one. Getting in touch with the touchy-feely sensuality of it is another step. And your dream is sort of saying, that's the bit I want to bring in. I think you were saying rich and textured. I want to bring in this new job. I can do it standing on my head. I've got the confidence for that now. But will I also be able to bring in the emotional richness and texture that I actually want to have in this job as well?
Yes, yes, that's very true. It's quite different, I guess. What I'll be doing is slightly different in some ways, and I'm not sure how that will pan out in the actual doing of the job. I feel like I can do it, but I'll have to follow. It will be a much more controlled job in some ways, and much more strict procedures and things like that that I'll need to follow.
Yeah,
I've worked for a lot of very loose companies that are quite creative, and this will be a lot more controlled.
So there's the feeling there of in my looser, more creative companies, my imagination was able to run fuller rein, and I could do the full texture, touchy-feely, full imagination thing. And I'm concerned in this new job whether I'll be able to do that.
Yeah, in a way, although I do have I do actually lack confidence in, even when I'm drawing or creating, I do lack, a full sense of what I'm creating. So I do doubt my creativity. Mm-hmm. I feel confident in this job because it doesn't involve as much of that.
Ah, right, okay. Hey, we're getting close to this now.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry for cutting you off there, but yeah, that's it. It's like I've got the plans, I can do the confidence, I can do the head stuff, that's all good. Yeah. But there is
I can do the practical part of the job, but there is a sense in I'm actually relieved to not have to create from scratch.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that for myself at the moment than for other people.
Okay, well, that's really good. So you kind of got that covered then. That is the job, and I'll do the job, and I've got, you know, I can do that confidently, and I can do the head stuff, and I can fit into that box. And now yeah. I need an avenue for doing my own stuff, my own free yeah. imagination, my own texture, my own sensuality. So the plane, in a way, in a dream, the drawing is, yeah, look, and in the dream it worked, didn't it, Kate? It was like, hey, I can't believe all this is working. Yep, everything, order the drink. Oops, there it is, yeah. Gin tonic. It's like, I've got that covered. That's
yes.
that's the job. The job is now like a 3D CAD thing. And
yes,
and
yes.
I really now want to develop the full imagination in other areas of my life.
Yes, definitely.
And the dream is saying, but in the dream you're going, but why can't I do that? Why am I getting jumps, getting the arc, the tree on fear?
That's really true, because I have a bit of time off before the job starts and I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm just sitting around. And I have like a million creative things to do and I'm just not doing anything.
Okay. So let's look in the dream for why that might be. And one of the things that I remember in the dream where you held back was the gin.
Yes. Yes.
And I was going to ask you, you know, why did you think, oh, look, there's no, well, I will ask you, why in the dream you went, well, there's no one around, so I really should just put the gin in my pocket. So why did you say that?
I was spending the last few weeks with people who don't drink very much.
Yeah.
And I don't drink a lot, but I do have the odd drink. And I feel a sense of judgment. And I am very aware of what other people think in those situations. There was one person in particular who I just thought, you know, I was thinking of her when I didn't want to just crack it open and drink it like a normal person would, like, yay, free gin, great. I have a sense of constraint around a particular person who I felt was there, even though there was nobody else there, that I didn't want to just relax and do whatever I wanted.
Okay, and it's interesting that in the dream, even while you were still in the dream, you kind of let yourself off the hook about that a bit. In the dream you said, oh, why didn't I just have the gin and tonic? I could do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So the sense that you had, the feeling that this other person who you have now said to you means constraint and judgment.
Yes.
Which, because everyone in a dream is a part of yourself, that energy was in the dream. So there's a part of Kate that goes, better have a bit of constraint as well as restraint here. Shouldn't be having this gin and tonic. Shouldn't be being myself. So that's, and you overcome it in the dream, which is good. So it means that you're actually associating that with the new job at the moment. It's like, I can't really just be myself and do, you just said to me, what normal people do, crack a gin and tonic. I can't, I have a feeling when I do this job, I can't be completely normal. There's going to be a bit of constraint around.
Oh, definitely. Mm. Yes, definitely.
But then by the same token, a little bit later in the dream, you went, why did I do that? It was working for me. So I would say that because that was one little kind of blip in the dream where it was, oh, a bit of a limitation. And you always go into dream and look for where's the limitation, because is this a block in waking life? And so it may be that once you get into the new job and you feel comfortable about it, which, you know, it's obviously part of the process, you may be able to let your hair down and put your feet up on the desk a little bit more than you think you'll be able to.
Okay.
Maybe not crack open the gin, but, you know.
I have had, for the last month, I've had people saying to me, you won't be able to do that at your new job. You won't be able to do this at your new job. You won't be able to say that word. And and so there is a lot of that sense. But I do feel I have a general block in myself.
Mm-hmm.
In a bigger sense. And I don't know what that is, and I don't know how to get past it.
Do you mean to work or life in general?
Life in general. Mm. Yeah, I don't quite know what it is. Mm-hmm. To actually just be able to let go and enjoy everything.
Yeah.
that there is it's a more general sense of life, which I've been pondering for a while.
And I think this is, we can work with, I mean, that's really insightful. And I think we can work with the symbol of the gin and tonic on the plane, which I think is a parallel for that in your waking life. And we can work with that. And I'll give you some alchemy on that to work with that so that it addresses the same situation in your waking life. First of all, was there anything else in the dream? Let me think. I love the way in the dream that you had, you're in a drawing and everything worked. It was like, even though you felt, I don't somehow have full imagination going here, it nevertheless worked. Now, this is really quite an important point because I was getting this quite strongly while you were explaining the dream. It's like, you know, you put out a visualization or, you know, you get yourself in a law of attraction frame of mind or whatever.
Yes.
And you go, okay, this is me. This is what I want. This is what's happening to me. And you set up the place that you want to be or the things you want to achieve. And they're not quite in your life at the moment, but you're living like, yeah, this is it. This is right. So in a sense, that is the plane in the dream. It's like, I have this picture. I have this concept. Let's forget about work for the moment, Kate, and let's apply this to all your life.
Yeah, sure. To life.
Yeah, I have this thing going. And although I haven't completely got it in full sense around yet, I have got it in 3D because it was like a CAD drawing in the dream. Mm-hmm. And more than that, shit, everything works. Like the sense of wonder, this actually does work. So your unconscious mind is going, I got it. And it works. Look, see, you can have all these things that you want. It does actually work. So let's just there's this one little block here because look, I'm saying to you, you can have the gin and we're not really talking about gin at all. We're talking about letting your hair down, doing what you want, being a quote, normal person, unquote. Being like everyone else. Yeah, you can have that. So what are you putting it in your pocket for?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So there's only that one block. And I think your dream is absolutely brilliant, which just shows how imaginative and creative you actually are to pick the Arc de Triomphe. I mean, look at the Arc de Triomphe. As you say, it's the triumph. It's the pinnacle of triumph. Only 8 people have done this before. It's supreme confidence. It's also a great symbol of it's through traffic. We go through. We're not actually getting out and getting in touch with this. We're not having the gin with it. We're not relaxing and taking it in. And it's also a little bit lack of imagination because what's happening in the real Paris? What's down and dirty? Where's the gin?
Yeah.
So I think I'd like to sort of begin to home in on doing some alchemy on the gin to open up the feeling in your everyday life, the rest of your life, that there is no, to release the block, whatever it is that currently is stopping you from letting your hair down because your unconscious mind is saying there's no bar to this except for you just putting the gin in your pocket. And it may be being reinforced in the last few weeks because people have been, and if any of those people are listening in, if you're like this, never tell people you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't, because it's so subtly and negatively grinds away, you know. You've been surrounded by people saying, oh, you won't be able to do this at your new job and you won't be able to do it. And they're just having fun and they're having a conversation, but gee, it goes deep.
Yeah, it does.
But before we just go for the alchemy, have you got any other questions about parts of the dream to further elucidate it?
Not parts of this dream, no. Just as I may have mentioned, I had a couple of questions about other repeating dreams, which are quite constantly repeating.
Yeah, well, what we'll do is we'll do the alchemy on this and then we'll go to the other two dreams. So we're agreed that the jinn is a good symbol from your unconscious mind of relaxing, letting your hair down, and perhaps also letting your greater imagination come into play. Because as we all know, if you put restraints on yourself, so you don't let your hair down, you don't put your feet up on your desk, your imagination is limited, isn't it? It starts to block things. So we want to work with that symbol from the dream, which is your unconscious mind symbol for this, to release that block so that it releases in your waking life. Now, when you do an alchemy practice, and I'm probably going to give you a visualizer. I don't think I'll give you the alchemy practice where I say just go and drink a lot of gin. I think we'll make it a visualization.
Really?
But you can do that.
I think I might just have one gin before I do the practice.
I think you can do that. maybe after the practice, full senses in the alchemy. No, anyway, what you'll find when you do the visualization really constantly and putting your full energy into it, is that you'll start to notice yourself responding slightly differently in life. And it may be that you never quite work out what the actual block was. It just disappears because you do the alchemy and you'll say, oh, look, that was interesting. I let my imagination roll there, or I did what I wanted to do regardless of what anybody thought or whatever. You'll just notice changes. Yeah. So I think because you're an architect, you've obviously got a fantastic visual mind.
I'm not so sure about that, but I will give it a go. I think I'm quite limited in being able to imagine things.
What would you say? Are you better with words?
I'm better with models.
With models,
actually.
Okay.
Making something, like making an artwork or something, better actually forming it rather than trying to imagine it.
Perfect. Lovely. Yeah, absolutely.
Sense?
What kind of materials would you like to use?
Oh, there's lots of options. Timber, paper, paint, lots of things.
Okay.
Just found objects, that sort of thing.
Okay, that's lovely. You pick the medium and maybe include found objects, because that then has a deeper symbolism of I'm finding something I've lost within myself.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And because you're an artist, I'm not going to give you any constraints. Isn't that good? I'm just going to give you the feeling.
You.
To start today, and particularly to start today because you haven't started your new job yet and you've got time on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And to create an art piece that for you has the feeling of having the gin with a tonic.
Oh, okay.
That for you has the feeling of, I don't really care what anybody else thinks about this. So there may
right,
be a sentiment of mixing the two things, the gin and the tonic. I mean, you can be literal in your artwork, if you like, and actually have like gin and tonic. You know, I mean, here's a non-artist making a suggestion here. You have, you know, the gin at the bottom, the bottle of gin, the tonic, and they come up in some kind of combined fountain of life and flow, you know, creative flow.
Okay.
So that's just a silly non-artist version, but you can actually incorporate the real gin, the real tonic into something.
Yeah.
So then you're working with the symbols of your own unconscious mind, and the object is in your art to bring the gin in with the tonic, no matter what anybody, or, you know, or no matter what a part of Kate feels, and the feeling actually as you're making and working on the art to bring in the feeling of lack of constraint. So don't use negative words like lack or constraint. Use the opposite, which is freedom and flow.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Build it, create it. If it takes 40 days to do, that's great. If it doesn't, if it takes 2 hours to do, do it that, but then come back to it every day for about a month and contemplate it. Put your hands on the artwork. Get back in touch with the feeling of everything that you want to feel that you feel is lacking in your life at the moment.
Okay. All right. Great.
Does that make sense?
That sounds fantastic. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a dream work's always fun. It has to be fun because it's putting you back in, it's always putting us back in alignment with the fun that we've put to one side for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
yep, that's great.
Far away your other two questions or?
I have, one dream that I have almost, it's almost like I have a whole other life in this dream. It continues on like a story. I dreamed that I'm back at, it started with me being back at school and doing the last year of in New South Wales, it's the HSC, but and I'm back doing it again, even though I've finished university, graduated and become registered as an architect.
Yeah.
I'm back at school doing this course, and I've got an exam, I haven't prepared for it, and I'm thinking, I don't even really have to do it. Like, what am I doing here? And then I have ones that I'm at university in the same situation. I'm aware in the dream that I don't need to be there. I'm finishing my last year at university. I'm doing it again. I've already finished uni and I've already taught at uni and I've already registered as an architect. And I'm thinking, I'm still trying to finish some course or something. And I'm going, what am I doing this for? This is insane. I can just leave anytime I want and go and do something else. And here I am, you know, trying to finish some assignment or something. and then most recently I was actually tutoring with someone, I think, and, they wanted me, I was using my own computer and they wanted me to, I wasn't on the system, and all their computers were really outdated and old and weren't working. And, I was just thinking, well, I don't know what I'm doing here. but most often the dream is about, being in the past but knowing I don't need to be there.
Yeah, a lot of people will be able to relate to that as a recurring dream theme. So this is it in a nutshell. Your dream always refers to the day or two before. So every time you have a recurring theme, look back one or two days and go, what was happening me? Okay.
Yeah.
And the other one is, it's a very common dream theme. And it, usually if you think to yourself, when I was in my last year at uni or wherever, or at school, why was it so important for me to pass the exams? Why was it so important to me to do well in the assignments? And if you have a little think about that and go beyond, I wanted to pass, think, who were you trying to please? Who else is it?
I was trying to prove something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whenever in your life now you nudge up against a similar theme and you catch yourself even unconsciously trying to prove something, your dreaming brain goes, that's like when you were at school. But hey, you're well past that because that's the feeling you have in the dream. Other people might still be get caught up with it in the dream and they're still there. But your dream is going, beware, Kate. Look, you know, that's all in the past, but you're in danger of working to those old expectations there. That's gone now. You can release.
Yep.
And particularly in that last one where you've got the modern computer, it's like, hey, you know, I can do so much better. So linked in with your confidence issues as well there.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Because at one point I thought it was something like that, which is when I quit the last job I had and started looking for another job. So it could be because that job was making me feel very much like a student. And so I thought, you know what? I don't need this job.
Oh, that's so good.
So that could be what that's about. The other one is my father had a stroke when I was about 19 and was very disabled and then died when I was about 28 or something. And I often... And this is maybe 20 years ago now, but I often have dreams where he's here and he's well. And I say, oh, you're better. And he's more recently, he's well, but he's older and he's aging like he would have aged if he hadn't got sick and died. It's quite pleasant. It's a very pleasant dream. And I think recently he actually got older in the dream and Mum decided that she would have to take him to a nursing home or something. But he wasn't as sick as he had been when he'd had the stroke. It was just normal aging. So it's almost like going through this process of how he would have actually been. And it's always this fantastic sense of, wow, you're better. You know, you can actually talk and you're normal and you're better and this is really lovely. So that's just an ongoing thing that comes up periodically.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Part of that will be the missing of him, you know. But at a deeper level, he was quite an influence on you when he was alive?
Yeah, he wasn't a very talkative man. Mm. He was very silent, but I felt very protected by him, I suppose. And so it was quite a shock to lose him at such a young age. And because essentially when he got sick, I lost that. And I'm probably, my mother always tells me I'm a lot like him. So
I was thinking that.
In personality. Yeah. So I'd missed that sense of getting to know him as an adult and probably create a whole reality around that, which wouldn't have existed if it, you know, doesn't exist. But I think it's that we had a similar personality and a similar understanding of things.
And that's why he's been in your dreams because, you know, whatever you've taken forward from him and the beliefs about life that you've got from being his daughter, you know, at least until the age of 19, those things that you're like him, you know, maybe it's partly genetics, but it's also partly because of the family dynamics in your early life.
Yes.
And so the part of Kate that is like your dad lives on in your dreams in the shape of your dad.
Right.
So, you know, because amongst other things, you've just described him as being very protective of you. That was what you said, wasn't it? So when in your life you need to draw on that protectiveness, either for yourself or when you're offering protectiveness to other people, there he is in your dream as a symbol of protection and comfort and safety.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And look along other levels of that too. And I'd be interested, you know, you might like to go and explore recently in the dream. And he's aged in that way because you have become wiser and wiser and wiser. The part of yourself that is like your dad and the part of yourself that is looking at protection has also become wiser and older and wiser and older. But at that point where you dreamt that he went into, maybe he's gone into the nursing home, have a little think about, is that part of Kate now perhaps about to let go? to die off?
Maybe. Yeah, there was a sense at one point in one of them where the house was cleaned. Mum had there was nothing in the house. This is the house I grew up in. And that it was all cleaned out, and it was like, also Mum is elderly as well. It was also, in a sense, letting go, or that all of that was going to end somehow. Yeah. That he was, someone had said to me it might be that, you know, it's a sort of a spiritual interpretation of, you know, her being ready to move on as well, and them both moving on out of the whole situation. My mum almost died a year ago, or she's almost died a number of times, and she's quite fit and well apart from her attempts at death periodically. Mm. And she, yeah, so it's sort of that she could go at any time, I suppose, and that they would be together, I suppose.
Yeah, you can certainly be, that's certainly one interpretation, that you can be either tuning into that or preparing yourself for it as well.
Yes.
You know, so that's one thing. But when you had that, I know you weren't prepared to talk about this dream, so you may not have the answer at your fingertips, but when you had that dream when, you know, the house was being cleared and your father may have been going to the nursing home, roughly how long ago was that?
Four or 5 months ago, I suppose.
And so was there a change in your life then? Was there something you were ready to let go of around protection, being protected, protecting others?
It could either be a relationship thing, or the job. Again, I said I was leaving a job that was not working for me. It wasn't working financially, and so part of getting a new job is taking care of myself financially, which I hadn't been doing properly.
Okay.
Or it could have been a relationship issue, just actually letting go of that whole area and just needing to get my whole life together before I think about that.
That makes a lot of sense. It's probably, they're probably both linked. The financial thing is protecting myself, new level of protection.
Yes.
And in making that decision and related decisions for your life, the relationship had to dissolve and let go as well.
Yeah. And wanting to actually not, it sounds crazy and old fashioned, but thinking I've actually got to set up my life financially and independently and not think that some relationship's going to sort that out. It's like that.
That's not old fashioned. That is a fantastic insight that everybody should be listening to.
Yeah. So, I think that, that is taking care of myself, I suppose.
Okay. So just to sort of wrap it slightly, just have a little think later about whether in letting go of those things and taking, you know, financial responsibility for your life or whatever words, you know, doing this change of protection thing, that you're not, well, you won't because of the alchemy, but that you're not doing that at the risk of letting your full reign imagination and being myself go, you know, that you're not going,
sure.
Oh, I've got to really pull everything in here because I'm being sensible and protecting and whatever. You know, this is about letting go of that. And this is about opening up. So,
I think that's okay. I don't think I'm becoming constrained in that.
That's fantastic.
Just a bit more sensible.
That's great. Congratulations on all of that.
Thank you.
Well, thanks.
It's lovely absolutely lovely to talk to you, Jane Therese.
Thanks, you too, Kate. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people would love listening to that. Michael sit and give me nods that he thinks that that was really lovely. Show and a lovely, lovely discussion.
Thank you.
So, as time goes by, let us know, contact me and let me know how you go with your alchemy practice. And if you wish, we can share that with other people and listeners. So, thanks heaps, Kate.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jane
Theresa. Thanks everyone for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. That was quite a long one, but I think, well, you've stayed in this long, so you must have enjoyed it. We're getting some fantastic feedback on the show, particularly on the shows where we do have a guest, and I do love having a guest. I love that sense of just not knowing what dream's coming down the line at me and unfolding it and unwrapping it and it's exciting. I love it. I love having guests on the show. So if you'd like to come on the show, do contact me. It's very easy. We just arrange a time and I phone or Skype you at the appointed time and we record the conversation. I'm sure you've managed to work that out for yourself by now. Visit my website www.dream.net.au for lots and lots of other stuff on dreams, or to contact me for a private consultation if you prefer, or my blog for general stuff and reflections on dreams and dreaming. That's at janetheresa.com, or come onto the Facebook fan page which has been going now for 5 or 6 weeks or something. And yeah, that's a bit of fun too. And next week we'll be doing episode 40. Well, we must have been doing this for 40 weeks now. Have a lovely week, and I'll see you next Friday for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.